get her going. Welcome to the Cans Across the World podcast. This is Sean, and this is episode 89. And just like always, very happy to welcome Darren Matthews. What is the crack?
Not much, sir. I heard there was beer to be drank midweek, and I was like, I better be a sound fella and help that man. So here we are.
There we go. So just get the beer out of the way, I guess. Because the old beer podcast is like, it's the only podcast that says, oh, we're a beer podcast, but it's not actually about beer. So we're both drinking the same beer again. And this is, that wee light's powerful. But this is called I Hope This Pale Ale Finds You Well by Evil Brewing. Evil Twin Evil. Brewing.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are these guys for? Captain Lawrence Brewing Company, Elmsford, NY. So New York, right? Is this America? Oh, Evil Twins, America.
All right.
Yeah. Great. The only reason I know is because there's the government warning on the can is, according to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. And number two, consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause health problems. I tend to find drinking just makes me put on terrible accents.
There you go. So far it's true. Do you like this madness on the top of the can? I reckon if you read that out loud, it'll probably summon a fucking demon or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know something about this. Is one of these ones where it's obviously in the States where you can get 10 cents back if you recycle a can.
Yeah.
Which is no good to us because we're both in Belfast. But yeah, that, do you know what I figured this out? This is, that's what state you're in. You get 10 cents. And then the other list are the states that if you leave it back, you only get 5 cents.
That's mental. So California, CRV, Oregon, Michigan, 10 cents.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Because in Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, New York.
Hawaii.
Is it Hawaii? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawaii, yeah. You get 5 cents back.
Stokes. Gypsies.
Well, here, you got the beer free, so let's not be fucking... Let's put that, put that stone down inside your glass house there, fella.
I see. Right. Turn off audio for Darren Matthews.
Right. Do you want to crack this beer?
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
You go first, man. It's your podcast. You go first. Oh, I love that pop. That was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was so good.
Give mine a go through my microphone. Here we go. Lovely. Just lovely. And I remembered a glass this time because last week I was just drinking out of the bottle. Like we'd met in an alleyway and decided to go on the drink. Like,
yeah, well, I'm actually drinking outside Dicey Riley's in Strabane.
Like, I know. I like that. If anybody's watching the video version, Sean is actually outside Dicey Riley's in Strabane. I'll see if I can get a bit of... I don't know if mine will pick up the sound effects. Nah, probably a bit quiet for it.
I can hear it a wee bit.
Oh, straight away, even before I put the thing near my face, it smells lovely. That's tidy. What do you think?
Oh wow, yeah.
It's really funny, as if, obviously because it's the white head of the beer. When I held it up, they get a wee nose on it. It blended in with the background I'm using. So look, there we go. It's the head disappearing on my glass.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
good old
my back,
but a good bit of orange off that.
Absolutely, maybe that explains the color of the can.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the ingredients are the old standards of water, hops, yeast, barley, oats, and wheat. Fired oats into this bad boy as well. There you go. There's nothing really.
Oh. Hear that?
Funny enough, there's no real tasting notes on this one. If you've noticed,
Yeah, that it's kind of interesting as well, because it says brewed and packaged for Evil Twin Brewing by Captain Lawrence Brewing.
Yeah.
Which suggests to me it's a contract brew.
Yeah.
Yeah, good metal.
But it's obviously my favorite type of beer, which is a pale ale, so excitable. Yeah. I could drink pale ales till I fall over, and I have several times.
They are gorgeous. Right.
Tasting wise, did you just get the orange straight away? I got a really zesty smell as soon as I opened the can, like, so give it a blast. What do you think? First impressions.
Oh, it's quite thick.
Actually?
It tastes like it's quite a medium kind of body about it. Like, you may notice, like, it's very, like, it just tastes very sunny.
Oh, okay. Like, so, yeah. I mean, if you look color wise, it's very see-through. It's very light in color. So I wasn't expecting it to be anywhere sort of challenging taste wise.
I would have thought it would have been like a lot lighter, like a lager or something like that. But
it's a 5%. Okay. There could be a bit of a kick out of this. Most pales you're kicking around sort of 4, 4.5. So we fiver. Yeah. Let's see.
It does taste very nice, though. Like, there's a very, like, zesty, orangey kind of citrus vibe about it. But of a bitter aftertaste.
It's different, but not in a bad way. I see what you mean about the sort of sooty.
Yeah.
But not that it holds the head very well, but obviously I've drank through a lot of it, so that's grand. I also learned my lesson from this podcast of only having one of the can, because obviously we talk so much that I'm always drinking too quick when you're talking. So I brought two cans of the beer tonight, so it doesn't happen.
I've actually a sneaky bottle of wine over there, just on the sidelines, you know.
There's nothing sneaky about 700 mils just staring you in the face.
That's it. Good old 70 cl just sitting there. A bottle of the purple. Let's see. Yeah, so what's been the crack of yourself then?
Crack of me is working away, trying not to get COVID again. Standard. What about you?
same, more or less. Yeah, because I noticed you were talking about like how people seem to have stopped washing their hands.
Yeah, it's like it's not cool anymore, so nobody does it.
That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, I would say to people, it's because I work in a customer-facing role. I'm in hospitality, so I have to engage with customers all day. I don't know if it's maybe an industry-by-industry thing where, you know, somebody's working from home, they don't have to deal with Joe Public. But I feel bad for people that, like myself, that work in hospitality, and people that work in shops as well, because trust me, folks, if we could get furlough and not be in work, we fucking wouldn't be. But we're there, and we're... Yeah, people just dander in, sort of. And the other thing is, well, like, I get people are sort of not into their kind of masks and stuff, but do us a favor, just be fucking clean before you come in.
Yeah.
And if you can't be, there's stuff on the wall as you walk through the door, work away there. It's just something I noticed personally myself, where I'm sanitizing myself a lot more.
Yeah.
Based on my interaction with the customers, and my hands are cut to fucking bits. Like, I used to work with concrete, and my hands were in better shape then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, same here. Like, I'm a drummer and have been for many, many years. Like, my hands have never been in a worse state. Just with a sanitizer all the time, working in hospitality. There was actually this customer last week. So it's okay to talk about it now because I've left. I've handed him my notice. But I have a new job starting in a couple of weeks. They don't know about the podcast yet, so it's cool as well. The crack was customer, like, had ordered a food and was waiting out by the back door. And she'd come in the back door, which is where the kitchen porter area is, where you wash your dishes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you're all right. And she goes like, oh, no, I'm just going to wait here for my food. I was like, sorry, that's part of the one-way system. You know, we have to keep it free just to keep people safe and stuff like that. And she goes, oh, there's like too many people up the front. And I looked out the front and I was like, there was six people. And obviously, like, enclosed spaces.
Well spaced out, yeah.
All spaces. So it was two and a two. Well spaced out. And there was up in the top right-hand corner, a completely free space. So I was just saying, like, oh, well, why don't you stand up in the top right-hand corner there and I'll bring your stuff up to you. That way we can keep this area free, you know, the one-way system sort of thing, and you can rock on through then. And she was like, no, there's people up there wear masks and stuff as well. And I was like, hey, point them out. And I was kind of like, my notice has been handed in. I don't give a shit anymore. And and like, honestly, I was looking about and she was like, oh, they're not there now. And I was like, where'd they go? And she goes like, oh, well, they were there before. I was like, look, I need to keep this area free. And if you're interested in the guidelines, then, you know, we need to follow them. So if you could wait up there, it'd be grand. So she went out the back door again. And I went up front the house to tell the two staff that were on up there, just saying, here, a lady's come in the back door, look at her food that she's just ordered. So if she's looking food, like if there's a wee order, then it'll probably be hers. So we need to bring it out there. But when I was telling them this and I was saying, like, she seemed a bit distressed, I noticed this man in the corner looking at me, and man, the woman. And turns out the woman comes in the front door and joins them. It's her fucking husband and daughter. And I was like, oh no. Like, everything I said, they've overheard. I was like, but I think he like told her to like calm down and sit down sort of thing, because she was having a proper freak out. Because I overheard him go like, look, they're following the guidelines as best they can and stuff, I guess. Yeah, it was crazy. So that's, I guess, the other end of the spectrum where like a lot of people aren't like following the guidelines, shit like that, but like some people are following like too much, like freaking out about it and stuff.
Yeah, I'm probably, I don't know, sitting somewhere in the middle of it, like, but it's just because I got sick in work. So I'm like, yeah. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Man. I actually went for the daily COVID test like last week there, just to be sure.
Oh, good crack, isn't it?
It is very enjoyable. He's like, oh, what about that up there? And then take the same bit and stick it down the back of your throat. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. I know. I was sort of doing that. I was like, do I want to rub my tonsils and then shove it up my nose, or do I want to get it nice and covered in snot and then shove it down my throat?
It was absolutely wild. Because
I was okay with it, because I, when I was a kid, I used to pick my nose and eat it, so I was fine.
Yeah, like, it was grand. Well, you used it. But it was like,
nothing shocks me.
The guy was telling me to do this. I was like, oh, mate, like, we're not there yet. Buy me a drink first.
Yeah, very true. I don't even know your surname.
Yeah, this is it. But it was loads of crack anyway, like.
No, I had that. My crack today was something that actually, this annoys me, the pubs aren't open, because I think this is a great story we could all be having an out beer for. So let me get an out sip on this and we'll go. I got missed call today, right? I was in work, missed call. From my cousin who lives in London, has done for years. Now, he and I have this thing. There's a couple of us do it between. It's definitely himself, myself, and one of my brothers, and there's a few other people partake, where if a celebrity dies, you text the other person to let them know they've died. But to keep the game interesting, occasionally you'll get a text about somebody and they won't actually be dead. It's just a test to see if you're paying attention. So you'll get like you'll get celebrities that have died. It was like, oh, you know, 2016, David Bowie's died. And it'll be like, David Bowie, RIP. And you're like, no problem. It all came out of a joke, basically, of where we're from, everybody being absolute ghouls and reading the fucking death notices every day to see if there's anyone to know. Gives me a phone call and I missed it and I phone him back. I was like, everything okay? Thinking, of course, if he's phoning me, something's wrong, because I rarely hear from him apart from this fun game we play. Gets on and tells me he's been doing the old Ancestry.com, you know, the DNA test.
Yeah.
So does the DNA test ages ago. He says he did it last year, never thought anything of it. And then once you're signed up, you can sort of add whatever family tree you know you added into this database and it'll try and find you. You know, oh, that person could be a relation to yours because they're seen in this parish record from, you know, 1876. So, but they match up your DNA as well. So Matthews, my surname, is a Welsh name. So my great-grandfather was Welsh and moved to Ireland. And so there's a few people on Ancestry.com in Wales that are related to us that are able to link in to be like, here, this guy is the same DNA profile as you. So you're a third or fourth cousin. If you're like great-grandads or brothers, you're fourth cousin. So this guy messaging the cousin. So my great-grandfather was a soldier who came over from Wales over to Ireland in the 19th century. But the cousin messaged him and reckons that he says, it doesn't know if it's a piss take, but there's an old family story. So this would be my great-grandfather's brother who stayed in Wales. The two of them were in the army together. And this guy who's like a fourth cousin who I've never met was like, they used to tell us a story about the family, about our great-grandad being at Rourke's Drift. Now, if you don't know where Rourke's Drift is, if you've ever seen the film Zulu,
yeah,
where like 100 or 200 British soldiers hold off like 1,000 Zulu warriors.
Yeah,
Michael Caine's in it. It's a very famous war movie based on Rourke's Drift, which is a real battle in 19th century, basically when Britain was colonizing Africa. And he was like, oh yeah, mine was used to say that my great granda and his brother, which is your great granda, were at Rourke's Drift. And I was like, Rourke's Drift might have been like a pub, them two lads, was that? I doubt they were actually. But then I remember in the movie, there's a load of Welsh guys, and they're the guys that do all the singing. As the Zulus are charging, they're singing, trying to get everybody amped up. I just thought that was a really funny story, because probably utter bollocks, but just the thought of like my ancestor just in the middle of Africa going, fuck, there's a lot of them boys and I'm very sunburnt. I don't know if I'm fit for a fight here.
I can imagine a pile of ginger boys. I mean, like, do you remember a photo a couple of years back? It's a boy with like a flat cap and he's got the GAA like shorts on, and he's standing chatting to a bunch of like natives on the beach, and he's going like, so these boys hurt or what?
Absolutely. Some big ginger lad.
I love that stuff, eh?
Yeah. So that's my fun story for the day. I found that out today while I was in work, and that it was hugely entertaining.
That's incredible. A great bit of history.
So I'm very tempted to actually sign up myself and try and find out a wee bit more, because the cousin was kind of lackadaisical about it, but I was like, that sounds class.
my granddad was very much into that as well. Like he passed away like too early. Anyway, just not so he could use this website. It's like, oh, I wish he could have seen this website. He would have loved it. But oh, fuck that internet. Hey. But no, he was very much into like tracing the family roots back as far as they can go and stuff like that. But I think he was able to get back like 200 years. I must check out my dad and see what the crack was. But he was on a wee journey, but it wasn't to the extent now where you can send your DNA off and trace it.
That's pretty good. I mean, there is also the thing where, you know, like celebrities go on that show, you know, who do you think you are? Or people will do like DNA tests and go, oh, fuck, I'm related to Genghis Khan. And you're like, well, yeah, so is like 30% of the world's population, DNA.
Yeah.
That man did nothing but murder and raid. But
that guy fucked.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was like, I would love to do it. But I know, rightly, you're just going to keep going back. Like, I do know that my great-grandfather on my granny side, the Matthews family, my grandmother's father was a blacksmith.
Hi.
In the sort of late 19th, early 20th century. So I was like, although I'd love to think that maybe at some point somebody did something heroic, we're probably just a little low-level workers. You know what I mean? It was like... This is your great grandfather. He dug ditches and had 27 children.
My name as well, like O'Neill's High Kings of Ulster. But I think we were probably just like we owned a shop down the road or something like that from the Hell of Tara. Like we sold like Ga shirts, like early Ga shirts or something like that. Well, there you go.
Yep. I was going to say as well, because if you know anything about Irish geography, everyone in Tyrone is called O'Neill. There's fucking thousands of O'Neills.
There's loads.
It's literally called the O'Neill County. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
Like, I always just love hearing the stories about it, though. See, like the one where, was it Hugh O'Neill was racing O'Donnell across the lake or something?
Who was going to be the king of Ulster, which is where the red hand of Ulster comes from.
So apparently mid-swim, he cuts off his hand and throws it onto the island.
Yeah,
the
thing was, the story behind that, it's like an old Irish myth where these two boys were going to race in their boats, and whoever won, I think the proviso of the race was whoever touched the other side first was the king. O'Neill's losing the race, and in an act of desperation, remembers that it's the first man to touch the shore. So he cuts off his own hand and throws it ahead of the boat that's beating him. So it touches the beach first. So he's the king. He's a one-handed king, but he's the king. Like, not a lot of foresight in there if there's going to be like future wars. You have to hold your fucking sword or something. Like,
I end up here like your man, Jamie Lannister, eh? Like crap at fighting.
Yeah. And it'd be in Tyrone, a lot of sisters and brothers bucking.
Oh. I resemble that remark.
Yeah. Pretty much. But, Sean, I knew it was going to happen. I've finished the first 10 here. Hello.
Oh, there you go.
bonus sound effects for the intro to the podcast, then. Oh, that was a better pop. But this is... I was going to say, going back to the beer amid my bullshit, this is, I'm enjoying this. It is different. I drink a lot of pale, so to get something that's a wee bit different is nice.
It's a really tasty pale. Like, I like the name as well. Like, I think the name drew me to it, because, like, just, like, obviously there's that wee meme that's like, I hope this email finds you well. It's like,
yeah,
I hope this email didn't find me at all.
Like, pretty much, yeah.
Or wish it didn't. There you go. Really nice. Really enjoy it.
I was just trying to think, and this is something that reminds me of probably something you would have done as a kid. There, you know that kind of zesty taste at the end of this one? It reminds me of, remember when you were a kid and you were trying to like peel a mandarin orange? If I couldn't get it started,
aye,
I would bite the rind until I could get, you know, my hand in to like peel it off.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that zest of if you bite a citrus fruit, but like the skin of it, you know, like when you zest a lime, it's that taste.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it's very orangey, so it's good.
I did a good bit of cooking yesterday, and like one of the ingredients was a full lime juice. I was like, oh fuck's sake, all these Protestants with their juicers. So I was like, I like cut the top of it, and I was just like, go like that. Just like, yeah, squeezing it between my hands. I was like, aye, this.
What did you call your guy years ago who came up with the reggae sauce? Because that was all his recipes, no matter what he was making.
Oh, yes.
I remember this being pointed out to me by my friend Luke Burns from Fermanagh. He was like, if you watch his show when he's cooking stuff, no matter what he's cooking, the last thing he'll do will always go, and the juice of a lime. It's the last thing he always says.
I was Levi Ritz.
Yeah, Levi Roots could be doing like a chocolate cake right at the end. And the juice of a lay.
That's it, like, absolute legend. I love that guy because he got his funding off Dragon's Den.
Yeah, made a clean fortune.
Unbelievable. Like. But his stuff is class. I actually made in the first lockdown, like, I don't know what one we're in now.
46.
Sorry. It was like lockdown hashtag 046. But the first one I made like a jerk chicken thing. That was one of his recipes, but sure enough, a full lime went in there. It was crazy.
Brilliant.
Unreal. But speaking of lockdown anyway, do you know what's happening?
No, it seems to be that I think the government is making us various promises to stop us rioting and then reneging on those promises about a week before they're supposed to come true. Seems to be the pattern. Like,
oh, that's grand. Like, because I stopped watching the news. I was like, I can't be that angry anymore. I mean, obviously, being from Strabane, I'm always going to be angry anyway.
But, yeah.
I just decided I can't be that angry. So I'm going to be less angry, but not watching the news and stuff. But I'm going to base my my lockdown experience on the day somebody messages me and goes, it's like, oh, do you fancy a pint? Or I'm grabbing a ticket for this gig. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be my...
You'll be like Andy Dufresne when he gets out of Shawshank, just outside on your knees in the rain. It's over.
Oh, fuck, I can't wait. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be great. Like, I'm going to be in the middle of the limelight, covered in shit.
Just like... Yeah, who cares? had a great time.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not sure. I've kind of done that thing as well where I try not to, I don't watch the briefings anymore, sort of know the news. I'm like, just keep yourself safe. Do your bit to keep other people safe. That's all you can do without being a fucking nuisance. So
yeah, it's tough.
That's
like
me. That's my plan. Keep my head down, try and exercise to stay sane. Don't listen to the bad thoughts. Use alcohol as a fun thing.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, it's I think although we joke about the times we've been drunk and the drinking we've done on this podcast, please, and honestly, guys, do drink responsibly, especially at the minute, because there's a lot fucking going on in the world. So look after yourselves and like enjoy your beer. Like,
yeah,
me and Sean are recording this tonight, so we'll have like, I'm having two beers and that's me for the night because I'm enjoying my beer. So try and do that. Try not to be drinking for volume, which I was all about in the first lockdown when I thought it was going to be like a month.
Yeah, yeah, it was party time.
The first lockdown, I was like three, but I was like, I'm going to pure party for a month and then go back to work. And we all know what happened there. So,
yeah, that was crazy. Like, because I remember like speaking in the job I was in at the time, like speaking to my boss, a week into furlough, we were still doing like wee sort of Skype chats and all, how you getting on, all this kind of stuff. And they're all like, oh, try not to be alcoholics, lol. It's like, I'm just like, oh, good crack and all. But like, if you kept that up throughout the whole year, like, I hate to think there's people out there that have and they're in worse positions now. But even I had time off in January because I was like, I can't fucking, you know, I can't like drink like that. Because like, you know, when you're feeling a wee bit down and all, you shouldn't be drinking to compensate it.
Yeah, well, I did dry January, which was made easier by obviously having COVID for 2 weeks. But I tried just to dry January's terrible.
Mentally, you had COVID.
Yeah, I know. Mentally, just because, not that you're like, I need a drink or I want a drink, but just it's like anything. It's like Lent without the fucking religious guilt. So I was like, I'm doing this to myself. No one's making me do this. Jesus hasn't told me I can't go on the piss.
Oh, this is it. Cannot do it, hey. But yeah, like I actually went off like Buckfast for Lent.
Are you off the buggy? You are not getting her bucked.
Pretty much, like I mean, I lasted 2 days.
Barkeep, pass me the get fucked fast.
can't cope. But yeah, I lasted like 2 days. And it was actually my mate, Cahir, like, asked me, and, like, he goes, like, oh, are you going off anything for Lent? I was like, Buckfast, just blurted it out. It was like, what's the thing that I had before lockdown, before Lent, that would be a challenge to go off? And I didn't have any willpower. Terrible.
Well, I can't say anything because when you were doing No Crack November, I tried to do it in solidarity and lasted, what, a day? Because, and not even out of anything malicious, I just wasn't paying attention and somebody handed me a beer. My brother was like, do you want a beer? And I was like, aye, because I've never said no when my brother has said to me, do you want a beer? I took it and then took a drink. And then somebody was like, you're not off the drink for the month. And I was like, well, if you're fuck it, I'm going to finish it now.
All wildly.
Lent, I've been cheating Lent for a long time. What am I, 35? Yeah, I've been kind of cheating Lent for about 20 years now. because I'm not, I haven't been religious for years and years. So, but there was that there's a transition period where I'm telling my ma that I think it's all nonsense. And also she's still expecting me to do stuff like go to mass on Christmas and all that sort of stuff. Because obviously if we don't, people will judge her because she's a bad mother because she's raised heathens. So what I used to do for Lent was, and I still do it, is the easiest way to get through Lent is go off stuff you don't do in the first place, which is why for the last 25 years, I've been going off heroin and successfully completing Lent every year. So yeah, pure easy. Lent's for suckers. Like, it's easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh shit. Actually, I just got a wee text message through. So I passed a credit check and a police check. Which is good. I don't know how.
It's always good to know.
Yeah. So this is a podcast first. But there you go.
Congratulations on your not being illegal or wanted by the police. Well done.
That's exactly. But I remember all the times like Jerry Adams could have just said, oh, actually, I'm not part of that. And that was grand. He didn't have to prove it.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah. Wish I could. Your credit rating's dog shit, Darren. Is it? Prove it. Come on. Where's the? It's in this credit report. That could be anybody.
It wasn't me. But
yeah,
it was a bit of crack. I speaking of the news anyway. Like I got a bit annoyed today about the Mr. Potato Head thing.
Yeah, explain this because you sent it to me beforehand, which I thought was fucking hilarious. So
it's. They're saying Mr. Potato Head is to get a name change after being made gender neutral. It will only be known as Potato Head after makers Hasbro decided a modern makeover was needed after 70 years. But what about...
So there was a Mr. Potato Head and there was a Mrs. Potato Head. Now they're both just Potato Head.
Yeah, so it's I'm not sure. It doesn't say anything about Mrs. Potato Head. Apparently that's fine and not problematic. It's only Mr. that's the problem, because it's so, like, I don't know if it's like it's so strange the way all stuff works out, because like it's kind of like it focuses on the Mr. bit to be, I think, inflammatory. It's like they're gaslighting people to post about it online, because who's buying a fucking potato head these days? And
yeah, there's no yeah, not unless I think those see a surge every time there's like a Toy Story movie released, but obviously there's no Toy Story movie lately. So
yeah,
a couple of years, 2-3 years ago was the last one. But the only thing I know about Potato Head is it's also a very nice club on a beach in Bali. It's called Potato Head. I've been there twice. It's lovely. They have a great if you ever want kind of like what trendy people would call the chilled vibes, their playlist is on Spotify, Potato Head Beach Club, and it's all just lovely beats you can sit on the beach and drink to. It's great.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah, but actual Mr. Potato Head being rebranded as Potato Head, I wouldn't say it's outrageous or, you know, those damn whoever have gone too far. It's probably just fucking funny about how ridiculous things are getting.
It's like nobody was crying out for it. It was like, oh, what bathroom can that spud use?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a fucking potato.
This fictional character that isn't a real thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, how long is it going to be before people get outraged that there's only one Smurfette, but there's 460 Smurfs?
Oh, like, my God. You only see the quote they had to use here. The toy was brought to life alongside Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story film franchise and would often angrily demand other characters not to forget his title. That's Mr. Potato Head to you, you backstabbing murderer, the plastic spud memorably said to Woody. I think about that every day. I think I go to bed. Like, it's like, oh, remember that time when he reinforces gender?
Yeah. Surely the more important part of that was when he thought Woody had murdered Buzz.
Yeah, it's like there's an actual a mock duck has taken place here.
Yeah. Although, also, does that mean then that, because in the movie, Woody says, he calls him Potato Head and he tells him not to call him Potato Head. So are we saying here that Woody was much more forward thinking than everyone else in the bedroom in Toy Story?
Oh, fucking hell. There you go. Ah, sure says that.
Just saying, he called him Potato Head years ago. So, you know, he saw what way the tide was turning.
Woody and also by extension, Tom Hanks is a PC. Yeah. Woke as fuck.
Yeah. No, stuff like this, it doesn't annoy me. I just think it's like, are we doing this? Is this like somebody at the company's like the social justice warrior, or is it a means of getting some sort of press which drums up extra sales? Because is that like saying, oh, well, look, my kid has a Mr. Potato Head, and then them saying, oh, you can't be using that anymore. You have to get a new one. So we need you to buy another one. You're like, can I not just take his wee tash off? And then he's sweet.
Yeah. Like, why don't they just like make one for his arse and just give him a wee ash tash? Or
can we make a moustache? Is that what you're trying to say?
A moustache, yeah.
I would say if you want it to be like a Potato Head is like an androgynous, then just release like a David Bowie Potato Head, and then that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Easy.
It was insane. Just
do the androgyny thing. That's fine, but don't be like, no, that you can't give out your kids anymore. You need to buy them a new one. And you're like, this smells like a marketing ploy more so than you making a great big point that needs to be heard right now.
Yeah, they don't give a rat's arse about people. Like, it's just about making money. But like you say, it's probably just a marketing ploy.
Yeah, there's a focus group was held, and someone was like, we could make a shitload of money. Someone was like, good shout.
That's yeah. Class. We get on there about beer news.
Yeah, what have you got for me? I also do enjoy the beer news.
So we're talking about beer gardens are apparently going to be able to be open from April 12th. Obviously, last week we had the story where 60% of pubs in the UK don't have beer gardens.
Yeah. So
this is going to be tough. So it's going to be beer gardens first. No sit inside, apparently.
Is this going to be suspiciously where it turns out every pub that owns a beer garden is also a Tory donor?
Yeah, it could be. Could be like the RHA.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, I remember, was it the guys in the fellowship were talking about that, where they pointed out that, I can't remember if it was them or I just like read it online somewhere, because my memory be hazy. Mm-hmm. But it was the case where like the same thing happened in like England as well, like the same RHA scheme and stuff got there and it was abused, but Nolan only focused on the Northern Ireland part to kind of infuriate people, like make people angry and stuff.
Oh no, that was the the fellowship boys, it was Dexter and Yums, Connor Keys and Mickey Bartlett were talking about that.
Ah, that was it, yeah. But yeah, that was really interesting though.
Oh no, hang on. Wait a second. That was my podcast. Connor Keys was on my podcast. Because my joke was the only way we're going to have peace in Northern Ireland is if we cancel Nolan. That was my joke.
Oh, fuck. You white boys are all the same. It's hard to distinguish.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, fuck, it was so interesting actually, because I had never considered that angle before. Where, like, I knew it was biased anyway to try and like inflame both sides and stuff, I guess, but I didn't know that sort of side of it. So that was really interesting.
Yeah.
But there you go.
So does that mean, is it like beer gardens only, or is it like there's certain pubs in Belfast where you can sit at the front? It's not technically a beer garden, but you're outside, you're in a ventilated area.
Yeah, because the likes of Ulster Sports Club, they have a really good, maybe like, I don't know, there's maybe like 8 tables out the front or something out there, and then bootleggers have as well.
They have a smoking area you can drink in, don't they? So same thing. Yeah. Sunflower Bar has one. It's another great pub in Belfast.
Yeah. So there's a Clare Lock, and then there's a Northern Lights up the Armour Road and stuff like that. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens if anything sort of kicks off, because obviously everything that's released at present is the Westminster government talking about England. So the devolved governments have to make their own minds up. So Scotland will do their own thing. And then usually about anywhere between a week to 30 years time difference, we'll get it in the old north. So
yeah, this is it.
Seems to be the way.
But the only thing is, like, if the down south are like rolling out their vaccines soon, like a mass rollout sort of thing. So if that works out fine, hopefully that'll affect us positively as well.
Yeah. So we'll see. Not as in a positive COVID test. Positively as in we'll fucking get our lives back. Like.
Yeah, this is it. Fucking miss it. Actually, on that, anybody listening to this still, like, check out the Fellowship podcast from just like last Sunday there. It is fantastic.
It's very good.
Okay, I was honestly, it's the because remember we were chatting in the group chat about it, but like it's a very honest look, like how it personally affects people, like in their families, and they were talking about like how their kids' lives are going to be affected growing forward and the next generation, stuff like that. And it was fucking, it was heartbreaking, to be honest, because I think like if you posted that online, you will immediately get people jumping down your throat going, oh, you're being selfish and all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, like, this is how it's affecting me. Like, we need these things to survive. Like, and humans need fucking interaction. Kids need to, like, be taught by the teachers and all this kind of stuff.
Well, the one I said was whenever there's people talking about struggling with the homeschooling, which would probably fucking drive you to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, in my life experience from doing a lot of traveling, if you ever meet anybody who is actually homeschooled, they're always a bit fucking weird. So I don't want an entire generation of weird wee bastards running about the place, okay?
Yeah, this is it. I couldn't hack it. I'm fucking weird enough, and I went to school, to be honest. But there we go. So what are we looking at? So there's a... call the cut beer jitty and stuff like that as well, because Big Bozo or Bojo or whatever the hell he's called these days, he's saying it's going to be cheaper to buy pints and stuff when we get back. Good or bad, do you think? Like,
I think, look, for the common man, it's no bad thing to have affordable an old pint after work, but also, is it like they want to get the country drinking more because then it'll shut us the fuck up? People that can't go and vent and let the rage out over a pint with their mate, or to drink in a positive manner, which is going to have a chat with your friend and have a wee pint and make it a social outing and have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
If it's cheaper, it might just encourage people to get full with, and then everyone will just be giving their money to that bollocks that owns Wetherspoons, which we don't want either. So.
Yeah, because did you notice that like Boris is like, promo photos were taken in a Weatherstones.
Yeah, and he's, so, I know he's big mates with your man anyway, so.
Yeah, scumbags, a lot of them.
Yeah, please remember, of course, that this is a man who said to everybody before furlough was an option that if you could get a job in Tesco, you should take it, because basically they weren't going to look after you, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those bar staff, especially in fucking Weatherstones, the absolute abuse you must take working in that pub. Like, there's I've never been in a Weatherstones that has, like, the cozy pub feel.
No,
we always talk about like the good pint, the airport pint, the stag do pint. The good pub is, you know, one ale boy reading the paper, maybe putting on a few bets, maybe has his dog with him. The barman's good crack or good looking, or good looking and good crack. That's a good pub. That's not something that happens if you wander into like a chain bar or a restaurant, which is, you're not going to get the good pub, which is the couple ale boys, you know, the local character. And then just yourself, where you can go in and you can either decide to talk to people or you can be left alone and left to actually enjoy that. I think that's an important one. So I don't think you're going to get that whenever the pubs reopen and they're flooded with people.
Yeah, this is it. I'd say, yeah, I'm not sure we'll get that for like ages, to be fair.
True.
Yeah, so I'm kind of back and forth about it because, like, I think that the pubs are going to be at a disadvantage then because, like, somebody's going to lose money on this. Like, is it going to be the supplier or is there going to be another grant, like, that's given to pubs or suppliers to cover the shortfall? And then, obviously, is that going to be a tax hike for us? So we're paying in some way. It's just like it might seem on the surface like, oh fuck, that pint's only 4.50 instead of the usual fiver that it is down in Belfast these days.
Scandalous to start with,
yeah. But your fucking taxes have gone up. Like,
yeah, I think no matter what, we're gonna get taxed through the ass for this because it's gonna be the excuse for years to come. The tax hike, well, we gotta make back that COVID money that we gave you all.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, cool. So you're actually just giving me back my money. Thanks very much, you absolute dog shits.
Yeah, it's been the whole thing. It's like my whole thinking throughout the whole process has been like, oh, okay, my wages have gone down 80%. Are my bills and rent and stuff going to go down 80% as well? Oh, no, don't worry. They stay the same. Now you're just going to have to fucking struggle for X amount of time.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so it's been horseshit, and it's going to be interesting to come election time because, I think the fellowship guys, honestly, last weekend, like, listen to that podcast, they are in the same boat as well. There's nobody to vote for, nobody's fighting your corner.
What's the one? It's very. It's very hard to imagine, you know. It's like, is Sir Keir Starmer, the man of the people, gonna wrestle power back from the elites? And there's a photo of him getting knighted. You're like, no, probably not.
Yeah, it's like I didn't trust that by at all. Like, we could have had fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi in the seat, but we said, no, you know what? You fuck off your free internet.
Yeah, what was it? Mad? Internet communism or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, nationalized internet. Well, there you go. Let's see. Let's get on to something more positive. Fucking robot dog serves beer to Seville to keep the table service COVID safe.
Wait, say that slower.
So, this is in Seville, Sevilla, Spain. So they've got a wee robot dog and he's serving beer to protect the bar staff.
So he just wanders about with your wee pint in his back?
Yeah, he's got your wee pint. And basically, it's one of the wee four-legged boys from, remember in Black Mirror? The wee four-legged
dog. Oh, yeah. That was a brilliant episode. I mean, absolutely terrifying, but also a brilliant episode.
Yeah, so they've taken that and they've turned it into a dog that can serve you beer, which is totally fine.
Absolutely brilliant.
But I wonder if he's going to get the hospitality worker mentality of fuck these people. And then that's how it becomes a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is what gets started as well. I messaged you about that as well, where I was talking about doing a job interview with, obviously you can't interview in a traditional sense anymore, which is going and meeting somebody, shaking their hand, showing them that you have a good handshake, and then dazzling them with your social skills. Now you have to pre-record. So the computer asks you a question. It counts down, which is pure pressure for you to answer the question, and then you essentially answer a question like you are interviewing to join Skynet to take over the world. So
yeah, that was so creepy, like, because you can't read anything, because obviously if you go into an interview, like, sometimes the interviewer will break, because, like, your job as the interviewer is to be fucking, you're supposed to be the same person for everybody and not allow a read. But sometimes your banter, like, you know yourself as a comedian, you'll be reading the room. You'll be reading even the guys in the back of the room where the comics stand and shit. Knowing where you're going to go next. and then knowing what kind of buzzwords to fire out and stuff like that to get people excited. But you can't do that with a computer, and you just go like, oh shit. This is like, it's like being on stage and bombing. I guess you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah,
my material's whack.
Weirdly enough, I've been to what are supposed to be really formal interviews, and it just turned into an absolute having the crack session. And I went to one interview that I thought was going to be really informal and chatty, and it was so corporate boardroom horribleness, and me sitting there being like, ah, you probably don't want to hear my stories. All right.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so okay. Terrifying enough. Like,
that's it. Like, but yeah, next story then. Actually, we'll just do this last story because everything's about COVID, and I can't be Irish continuing to get into that.
Yeah, let's not be Grimms. Go for it.
So this one is a bit of crack. Finally. So this is Greenock man stole non-alcoholic beer in pub breaking. So he's thinking he's been a smart arse, and he broke into a pub, and he was actually found doing like other drugs as well. So like they were investigating him for the possession of codeine, whatever the hell these other two drugs are as well. Got big long scientific names. And they were investigating him for this, and they found a whole rake of the non-alcoholic beer that was stolen from this pub.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm fucking mad. So
he's never heard the phrase, obviously, you may as well be hung for a sheep as for a lamb. You know what I mean? You're going to steal. Go, man. Get a couple of bottles of whiskey. If you don't want to drink it, you can resell the fucking thing.
Yes. I was like, oh,
you want to buy a couple of cure? Do you want to buy a couple of Carlsberg Zeros? Absolutely, get out of my house.
Oh, here's a six-pack of fucking Beck's Blue, man. Get lashed in, mate.
Fuck's sake.
Unreal. There you go. But yeah, that about wraps it up for the early podcast there. Will we do the early beer review?
We shall do, because I think we did everything on this podcast bar talk about this beer, even though it is delightful.
Pretty much. It is gorgeous, like.
What are you thinking? I mean, that's a solid effort and something a wee bit different. It's got the thing where, like, that end thing, what I described as, like, the citrus, like, biting the skin of a mandarin orange or something. It's really, really makes your mouth water. Like, you take a drink, you swallow the beer, you get all the flavor profiles, and then you're like, pure take more of this. Like,
yeah, it's kind of, like, I think I would rather have the two tins like yourself there, because like it's so nice, like it's really nice. I want to drink a lot of it. Like I could just drink this all night sort of thing. It's got that kind of smoothness about it, but like it is like the flavors hold up really well. Like it's very citrusy and orangey, and there's a nice carbonization.
When we talk about like great places to drink, this is a proper. I had four of these in my back garden on a sunny day. That's what this drink is.
Yeah. That's a nice one. Like if you're out barbecuing and stuff, because like obviously we're getting the better weather.
Oh yeah.
Fucking couple of these boys, just as the heat's hitting your face from the barbecue.
Work up a thirst. This is your work up your thirst beer, and then get something a bit lighter and easier for when you're eating your food.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, I absolutely love it. This pale ale definitely did find me well. So yeah, the sum up, cracker. I would say 3.8 out of 5.
It's a wee 5% as well, so it's a bit higher, just slightly higher than you would find in most pails to be. I would probably I'd give it a 4. I like to round this one up, so
sweet.
It's a 4 off me. It's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good.
Oh. Thanks. I'll take that as a compliment. Take away.
But enough about this podcast. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Cans Across the World. It's been a bit of crack. Make sure to check out the Fellowship podcast, as I was saying, especially last week's episode there. Honestly, the most honest fucking look at lockdown you're going to get off a bunch of people who have been affected by it. It was a fantastic listen. And obviously, check out Darren Matthews' podcast as well. What is it, sir?
Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends is my interview podcast. And then my weekly sports podcast with the very funny Jordan Robinson is Injury Time with Darren and Jordan.
Yeah. And that about wraps us up for this week. We'll see you again next week for episode 90. And it'll be grand. It'll be a week closer to pints.
Get on the drinks.
On the drinks. Hang on. Is your dad using the computer?